Yes, welcome back to the show here on World Football Daily. It is another Champions League Tuesday. The huge game tonight between Bayern Munich and Juventus has everybody's attention. And there's nobody better to get the thoughts on Bayern Munich just from this season and how unstoppable they've been in both the league and the Champions League this year than our very own favourite German correspondent, Mr. Kit Holden, joining us here on WFD. Kit, how are you doing today, mate?
Not too bad, mate. Yourself?
Very well indeed. Before we get into Munich and Dortmund, just for a second, want to quickly chat very briefly about Edin Dzeko's appearance at the Wolfsburg game this weekend. And does this have anything at all to do with the proposed move back to Germany for Dzeko? Because it's been rumoured that he'll be leaving Manchester City this season and potentially heading back to Germany, where he was so good and so strong in that forward line.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone would be very surprised to see him head back, and particularly to Wolfsburg. Obviously, he had a great time there. Whether or not, I mean, they've lost Mandzukic, so they'd probably be very happy to get another, you know, good striker from the last few years back into their squad, because they'll be looking, obviously, next season to push on towards Europe rather than getting bogged down sort of relegation end of the table like they have in the last few seasons. So I don't think, anyone would be too surprised, but yeah, we should probably wait and see before anything does happen. I mean, it's a long way away yet, still the summer, and it depends on what City do, it depends on what Wolfsburg do. So yeah, we'll see, but I wouldn't see it as a surprise.
And nice for Wolfsburg to get Patrick Helmers back as well after being out with his ligament injuries that he's had.
Yeah, very very useful. I mean, you know, they've had a bit of a blessing in the way Olic has played this season at times, and you know, they have had players who have stepped up to the mark, but yeah, I think Helmers being out and losing Mandzukic and a few other players that you know, it's perhaps hurt them a bit this season. They have underachieved perhaps a little bit. So yeah, it's good for them obviously to get their squad near to full fitness and hopefully fulfil a bit more potential in the last few games.
Seeing as we are back at last weekend in the Bundesliga, let's take a look at the Champions League sides that are playing this week, and of course we're both in action this weekend. And Dortmund once again not showing that full strength, full potential, a slightly weakened side though in preparation for this week's game.
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously going all guns blazing in the Champions League, and you know, it's having an effect on their league performances. I mean, you know, it was a good enough win to stop Bayern winning the title this weekend, and I think that was pretty much their aim. I don't think they'll be too disappointed with the result against Stuttgart. And you know, in some ways, it's helping them a lot because it means, as we've seen all the way through this year, they can really really play freely in the Champions League. They're under no pressure because they're still underdogs. However much everyone is talking about them, no one really expects them to win it. They might put them as a dark horse, but they're not expected to get to the final, semi-final. And the fact that they've got no pressure in the league, no pressure in the cup, they can just play their football in the Champions League. And I think, you know, a good win against Stuttgart, stopping by and getting, winning the title this weekend, it'll set them up nicely for the game against Malaga.
Is there any news on Schmelzer? He took a nasty boot to the face in that game. Is he going to be fit enough to be able to play some role in the game this week?
I confess I haven't had a chance to look at the news today, but he will be a big miss if he can't play. I mean, they've got enough strength and depth in terms of players like Pizek can come in, and you know, Santana has been excellent when he's come in actually for Hummels. So they've perhaps got a bit more strength and depth in defence than they might appear to have. But yeah, I confess I haven't heard anything yet, but they'll be very, very hopeful that Schmelzer will be playing, obviously, because he's a big player for them.
Interesting. You mentioned that defence and the amount of cover that they've had, but it still has, in the last month or two, looked a little bit lacking. Even in the Champions League, we saw Shakhtar getting a few goals at home against them, and it really didn't have a nice click to it, maybe, that we saw last year and, of course, earlier in the season, especially in the Champions League. Do you think that back four has been ruffled slightly recently?
Yeah, I think maybe a little bit. I mean, I think it's tough when you're playing against, you know, the teams like Shakhtar can hurt you, and when their Bundesliga form isn't quite there, and it's, you know, they don't have the same kind of wave of confidence that they've had in the last couple of years, to be honest. And yeah, I think there are mistakes. Hummels perhaps isn't on his top game. This season he's perhaps not been as strong as he has been in the last few years. Maybe that's a result of Euro 2012. Who knows? He's picked up a couple of knocks every now and then, and it's, you know, they've been misfiring. But I think that's not just the defence. I think that's Dortmund all over the pitch this year. I mean, they've sometimes they've been absolutely sublime, and other times they've been, you know, completely misfiring. And it's shown, you know, they'll come second in the league, and they won't win the cup, and they'll probably do all right in the Champions League. So, you know, yeah, I think the defence perhaps has been weakening a little bit, but I don't think it'll worry them too much out of Malaga.
You say Dortmund aren't favourites, obviously, to win the Champions League, some people's dark horses. Do you see them as favourites, though, in this game against Malaga, who Malaga have no experience really at all of this stage in the Champions League, their first season in it? Dortmund, though, haven't been in it for a while, especially at this stage. We saw them last year be so disappointing in the Champions League. Are they a heavy favourite, do you think, or is it quite evenly balanced this time?
Well, I'd put them as favourites, certainly. I think they're probably a stronger team, both on paper and as a unit. And as I say, they don't have... I think Malaga are... correct me if I'm wrong on my La Liga knowledge, but I think Malaga are embroiled in a place for the challenge for the top four at the moment, whereas Dortmund are... you know, don't have any pressure in the domestic scene. So I think they'll be a bit more relaxed going into the game, maybe. I think, you know, you say Malaga don't have any experience. I think you have to say that Dortmund don't have any experience either. I mean, it's only Sebastian Kehl and Roman Weidenfeller who have ever played knockout Champions League football before. I think they were the only two in the squad who'd played Champions League football before the season before last. So, you know, we are talking about a very, very inexperienced side when it comes to Europe. But I think from that respect, Malaga is the best draw they could have got, because they are playing against a team who, as you say, also don't have any experience, and it should be a straight football match. And I think on pound for pound, quality players for quality players, I think Dortmund are just about the better side.
Any worries at all that they haven't kept a clean sheet away from home in the Champions League yet this season? We know that Malaga attack can be quite devastating on occasions.
Yeah, I think that's if anything, that's a good thing, particularly for neutral, because I think, you know, Dortmund and the Klopp have never been a team who you know, rely on clean sheets and a absolutely war-spot defence. They've always been a team who look to push forward and score as many goals as possible. And I think, you know, it's always a worry when you're shipping goals. But I think they'll be more focused on making sure that players like Royce and Götze and Gundogan, who have been playing so well all season, can get the ball forward and actually score the goals, because, you know, that's the way they're going to progress. So I don't think they'll be too worried about the defence.
Okay, we've spoken about how they're obviously prioritising Europe and aren't looking at the league as much. I know we're getting very early in this, but just looking ahead, do you think that focus changes for next year? It looks like they're obviously going to be in the Champions League next year. And with the two back-to-back league titles, do you think they'll still be sacrificing that league form in terms of to push on for Champions League next season and grow in this tournament?
I think the bread and butter is always going to be the league. I mean, I think two things have happened early in the season for Dortmund this year. And the one is Bayern being absolutely brilliant in the Bundesliga and just overtaking everyone and getting miles and miles ahead. I mean, the title was basically lost in you know, sort of November, October time. So, and the other thing was that they did start playing fantastically in the Champions League. And those two things have basically just carried on in a straight line. And they've been able, as you say, to prioritise Europe. Next season, I think it's a mistake for any team. And I think Klopp would agree that to prioritise a knockout tournament over a league tournament. I think they'll be looking to build on it and to sort of establish themselves as a European sort of team and a European club, and one with a lot of international reputation, because that has grown over the last few years. But I think the way they're going to do that is by challenging for the Bundesliga title first and foremost. So I think, from next season's point of view, they'll be back focusing on the league as priority number one, and then they'll see how the season develops. But this year, like I say, they've got freedom and they should enjoy that. And if they can get a semi-final or even a final place, then that will set them in very good stead for next year and make them a team to beat.
Are you buying any of these rumours at all about Lewandowski? We heard so early on in the season that he was going to be leaving Dortmund at the end of this year, and now people saying that he could be at Bayern Munich next year. Do you believe any of this at all? I mean, the transfer rumour mill, especially around Dortmund, is continually going this season.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. They're seeming a little more realistic than they were when they first started emerging. I mean, obviously a player like Lewandowski is always going to have massive rumours about him, but Lewandowski doesn't tend to stay at a club for very, very long. I think in the last few clubs he's had, I might be completely wrong here, but I think in the last few clubs he's had, he's only been there 2 or 3 years at each club. He's always, you know, he had an interview a few years ago where he said, I'm playing with the champions, what would I want with Bayern? Now, obviously, he can go back on that and say, well, now Bayern are the champions. And I think if you look at the way these stories are coming out, it does appear to the naked eye that these are stories put out by his own camp, which would suggest that, you know, he's either going for a much bigger contract with Dortmund or he is going for a move. And I'd say it's more likely that he's going for a move. As far as where he's going is concerned, I think yeah, Bayern at the moment, from what we're hearing from you know, unknown sources in the papers and all the rest of it, Bayern seems the most likely. But you never know. I mean, the English clubs can always turn up with a lot of money. And Bayern, you know, if they offer Pizarro a new contract and they hang on to Mandzukic and Gomez, then, you know, well, they might not even need Lewandowski. He might even be struggling to get into the first team. So it depends. It also depends on who Dortmund can get. There's been talk of Adam Schalay or Stefan Kiesling. And I think, yeah, there's a lot of factors which could change one way or another what he does and where he goes if he does go. But I think it's more realistic now to imagine that he will leave than I would have said maybe 6 months ago.
Do we have to wait until Pep Guardiola comes in before we can start thinking about Munich and what they're going to do in the transfer window? As you said, they've already got ample options up front for this side anyway. But we need to wait surely for Guardiola to come in and see what his plan is to take this Bayern side on for the future.
Yeah, as I said with Guardiola, it's going to be a two-way process. So the squad are going to have to slightly adapt to him, but he's also going to have to slightly adapt to the squad. And I think, I mean, there's a lot of talk in the English media about you know, various players, Premier League players being linked to Bayern, Suarez and Rooney, and they all seem a bit tenuous to me. I mean, you know, it's this idea that you get a fantastic coach and at a big club and suddenly he goes off buying, you know, all the best players in every league. And that's not the Guardiola way. It's not the Bayern way. That's, you know, as I said, when they came together, they're a manager and a club with two very, very similar philosophies. And I don't think he'll go on a massive spending spree, no matter what all these stories are of, you know, he's going to have 100 million at his disposal, the rest of it. I don't think he's going to go and buy five new superstars. He might buy a few players to consolidate, maybe, you know, an extra centre-back or, you know, another striker if Pizarro goes, who knows. But I think, yeah, we have to wait to see what he thinks. But as it is, he's got the groundwork, he's got the foundation for a Guardiola-esque side. He's got a side that controls the ball in midfield. He's got a side that, you know, can play. And some of those players playing for Germany will be familiar with playing without a striker up front. So it's, you know, it's not like he's going to have to make huge changes and bring in a completely new squad. So I'd be surprised if he went and bought a load of stars.
You mentioned Bayern are just an absolute powerhouse at the moment. Nothing showed that more than their result on the weekend against Hamburg. A crazy, scary result, Kit. Or, yeah. I mean, Hamburg love conceding at the Allianz Arena, though, as well, in the past two meetings there. So are we that surprised they conceded 9?
Well, I mean, it is a surprise because, I mean, at the start of the season, you know, everyone would say, oh, Hamburg, they're going to go down. And then they've done really, really well this year. And they've, you know, they've been a bit erratic. They've shipped goals here and there and had terrible games against Hannover. They were equally poor in defence, just a slightly lesser team that was going out. But the, you know, it is a surprise when any team concedes 9 goals, let alone a team that's challenging for Europe. But I think there's been an overreaction from the Hamburg side. I think that, you know, it's obviously a disaster. Obviously, it's the equal worst Bundesliga defeat they've ever had. And you know, that's obviously something that needs to be addressed. But at the same time, it's one game, and you can't forget that this is a team who have completely exceeded expectations, or the expectations that the press put on them at the start of the year, that have completely, you know, gone much, much further than anyone expected them to. And one shocking performance against a very, very good team, which ends in an embarrassing result, is not going to destroy a complete team and you know, make need for a massive overhaul. So I think there's been a bit of an overreaction from the Hamburg side, people saying it's the darkest hour in the club's history. It's all rubbish. But the from the Bayern side, there are two things. I mean, it sounds terrible to say that you can criticise a team after winning 9-2, but actually, to concede those two goals, which are soft goals from corners, I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but it is true. I mean, you know, if you look at the last sort of 5 or 6 goals that Bayern have conceded, they've all been really soft from set pieces. And that, you know, that'll be something that Juventus will be looking at. You know, they'll look at a 9-2 win and they'll think, well, they've conceded 2 goals from corners, so we'll get them at corners. And, you know, it sounds like you're clutching at straws to attack Bayern, but at the same time, it is a clear weakness. But at the same time, obviously, you know, you win a game 9-2, it's going to boost your confidence. And they needed that because in the last few weeks, obviously, they had the dodgy result against Arsenal, a couple of great victories against Hoffenheim, Dusseldorf and Leverkusen, and you know, they needed a big win to get their mojo back, so to speak, and that has given it. But at the same time, yeah, they will be worried about the set pieces, I think.
We saw a great performance from Shaqiri and from Pizarro. Have either of them, I mean, especially scoring four goals for Pizarro, does that give him a shout at all in featuring in the starting lineup for against Juventus tonight?
I think it does. I think, you know, I'd consider it unlikely because, you know, he came in, he knew when he was coming into Bayern he was going to be a second or third choice striker. So I don't think, you know, when you score four goals in a game, when your team scores nine against a club that you always score goals against, which he has done for Werder and Bayern, I think, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get picked for the Juventus game. But I think, you know, he might come off the bench. He might, you know, you never know, he might start. But I think more importantly for him, what it does do is it shows that, you know, when he has been playing, he has been scoring a lot and having effects on games, which means he might get granted another contract at the end of this year, as we were talking about earlier. So, you know, and he'll want that. You know, I think he likes being at Bayern, and he, you know, he's proven that he has had an effect when he comes onto the pitch, which I think a lot of people expected that he might not. He might just be a bench warmer and all the rest of it, and he hasn't played that much, but when he has, he's been good.
Is there any worry at all from Bayern fans and from the German press that we are going to see a similar performance to the one in which they put out against Arsenal in that second leg? It was drab and slow and obviously criticised for being overconfident in that second leg. Is any chance at all of us seeing another Bayern side like that, especially after the weekend?
There is a lot of worry because, no, I mean, I think it's got less after the weekend, actually. I think the weekend result actually is sort of put people in a bit more of a relaxed position as far as Bayern are concerned. But there's a big worry, not so much from the Arsenal game, but more from the point of view of the old Italy-Germany hoodoo. I mean, people going on and on about how many of the Italy team that beat Germany in Euro 2012 win this Juve team, and how many of the Germany team win the Bayern team, and is it going to be the same curse and all the rest of it, and then Juve have got a better record against German sides than Bayern have got against Italian sides. And you know, people are very, very, in Germany, I think they take this kind of Germany-Italy thing very, very seriously. And Italy are seen as this team who for some reason cannot be beaten. And obviously the players have been playing that down, Bayern have been playing that down. Kroos has said, you know, it's no issue. We're not thinking about Italy-Germany or anything like that. We're just playing the game. I think Bayern have done their homework, which is a good thing. They appear not to be going in the complacent way. Heinkes has said he's... A great quote from him last week, where he said he's going to bed every night with the old lady, which is and waking up with her as well. So I mean, yeah, it seems like they're going at it in a lot more serious manner than they went about the second leg with Arsenal, and so they should. I mean, you know, it was probably a timely kick up the backside for them that game against Arsenal, because it showed them that they're not actually unstoppable, and if they do take their foot off the gas, then they could be embarrassed. So. Yeah, I mean, it's two very, very evenly matched sides. I think everyone's saying that. And Bayern will be looking to get a very strong result tonight. So I don't think they'll be going in complacently, but it's just whether that psychological thing of Italy or a big team or a result or anything just affects them a little bit. You never know. But I think they should be right. They'll be very pleased if they can keep a clean sheet. And I think if they can get a two-goal lead going into the second leg, then they'll be very, very happy.
We know all about the positives of this Bayern side. And just lastly, before we let you go, Kit, they're missing Javi Martinez and Babs Stuber tonight. Is there anything at all that Juventus can really expose in this Bayern Munich team, especially with their style of play, that can really give them the edge over this German unstoppable force, it seems?
Well, the one I mentioned earlier, the set pieces, I mean, it does appear to be the only way Bayern can see goals this season. Is, you know, you whip in a corner and someone like Dante is a bit lazy getting up and they score a goal. And when you've got a player like Pirlo on the pitch, then you know, suddenly a free kick and a corner can be a massive, massive advantage, and you've got all the Bayern fans quaking in their boots. I think on open play alone, I mean, I haven't watched enough of Juve to really compare, but I think from what I've seen, I think Bayern will be the stronger unit. I think both teams are attacking. Both teams, you know, want to be getting forward and want to be passing the ball around the field. And I think Bayern are the stronger team on paper, and you know, they'll probably be looking to dominate the game, particularly at home in midfield. But you know, Juve are good enough, and I think, yeah, if they can get a few set pieces, a few dodgy tackles from a Jerome Boateng or something, and you know, you could be looking to harm Bayern very, very seriously from that. And a couple of away goals from, you know, when Arsenal did it, didn't they? You know, you get a couple of away goals from a couple of sleeping defenders, and suddenly, you know, Bayern are in a bad position. So I think for the home leg at least, set pieces are probably the best shout. But then that's not to disrespect Juventus. I think, you know, they are an excellent side, and it'll be a very, very even game. I think that's pretty much all anyone can say at the moment.
Kit, can you just give us a score prediction for both German teams in the Champions League then this week in the first leg alone?
I'd say both to win 2-1.
Both to win 2-1. Kit, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show today. We apologise for taking up so much of your time. We'll let you get back to the day job, my man. But we look forward to getting you back on as soon as possible to hopefully talk about, from a German point of view at least, the success of Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund this week in the Champions League.
Thanks very much, mate.
Cheers, mate. Have a good one. Kit Holden there joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things German football and, of course, the big build-up to the Champions League games this evening as Bayern Munich take on Juventus, and then tomorrow night, Borussia Dortmund taking on Malaga in Spain. And as I say, Dortmund not kept a clean sheet yet on their visits around Europe this season. I wonder if Malaga fans will just be looking at that and thinking there are goals to be had in this leaky back four that we've seen over the last few weeks of Borussia Dortmund. But how do you stop the Bayern Munich attack? We'll be answering that question. I'm sure Rafa Gonzalez has a book or two about Iron Robin that he's been sending off to Northern Italy, to Turin, to the old lady, to give Juventus a chance of beating Bayern Munich tonight. It's the Champions League this evening. We'll be back looking ahead to all of it right here on WFD in just a sec.